Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for another day, Sunday, to come and open your word, to see how your word and what you call us to be as Christians and how you call us to live as Christians, receive that challenge from the word, from your spirit, that we would be found faithful in living for you, that we would seek to build up the body of Christ, to be a unified body that can glorify you in all things, and so that you would be able to use us in your kingdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want to address the topic of serving and giving. Say serving and giving, I'm going to use those terms interchangeably. Basically, what I mean is spending yourself, your time, your gifts, your resources, your energy, all that you have. Jesus gave us the model to follow. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Jesus says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus, in other parts of the Gospels, tells us also to take up our cross and follow him. And part of what that means is following him in service to the church. Jesus says in Mark 10, 43, "Whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant." So greatness in the eyes of Jesus is serving the needs of others. Our service to others, it should be the result of an overflow of love from our heart because of the love that God has shown to us in Christ. That's what unleashes ministry. It's what should unleash ministry. This morning, we're going to look at how God's called us to serve each other in the church through our different gifts that he has given and how that service contributes to unity in the church. I believe every member of any church, but specifically here, every member of First Baptist Church needs to be serving in some way. Every member serving, every member in ministry. So what I want to do this morning is just to cast a vision for serving by seeing what God tells us in his word, what God says to us, speaks to us, shows us in his word. And then as we move from here over into the social hall, there'll be a light lunch, as I mentioned earlier. I want to give you an opportunity to see everything that's going on and see exactly how you can put what we hear this morning from God's word, how you can put that into practice and find a place to serve if you're not already serving. So we're going to start by looking at a theology of service, and then we're going to look at four ways that serving contributes to unity in the church. We're really going to put those kind of together. They're going to flow together. But we're also going to look at, we'll pause in the middle of all that to see how we might serve in ways that are not honoring to God, that aren't really for the good of others. And so we'll see that kind of mixed in as we go through this sermon this morning. We're going to be really in different passages. I'll tell you in a minute. We will camp out in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's not where I'm going to start, but we will eventually get to 1 Corinthians 12. I want to start, though, in 1 Peter chapter 4, what I read this morning for our call to worship. Verses 10 and 11, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. So those two verses are kind of a summary for the biblical view of service or ministry within the church. And there are several things, really five things, that we see just in those two verses. Number one, every Christian has received a spiritual gift. Every Christian. Secondly, that is the result That spiritual gift is the result of God's grace. Number three, we have a responsibility to use that gift. Number four, we should use that gift for the benefit of others and for the glory of God. And number five, we should serve through God's strength. So as Christians, there is a special manifestation of God's grace in you for the purpose of building up the body, for building up others in the faith. And ultimately, it's given to you to put to use for the glory of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 makes another important point. He says, Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, God gives gifts to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. What Paul's stressing there is the aim of strengthening the whole body, not just parts of the body. The whole body. We're to serve each other with the aim. A lot of people have this view that I'm serving so that I build myself up, so that it'll be good for me. That's part of it, but that's not the point. We're to serve each other with the view to help the body mature, for the body to gain strength. God gives gifts to all of us, every single one of us, according to His grace, to be exercised in His strength, not primarily as a means of self-fulfillment, but for the maturing of His church, that we might grow in our unity, grow together in our unity. Now, by the way, that is the first point that I want to show you of how service can be done wrong. The person who feels entitled to serve in a way that they feel they've been gifted, and who's afraid that they can't find fulfillment as a Christian if they're not serving in that way, has completely missed the point of what Paul is saying and what Peter says. And so it means that we're to serve where the body needs strengthening. The goal of serving is the building up of the body, not our personal fulfillment. And I think that we often need that reminder. It's for others, not for us. So given that goal, given the goal of unity, that we're to exercise our gifts for the goal of unity and so that God would be glorified, how should that characterize us? What should that look like? How should we be serving? What should be our motivation in serving in the church? We can just touch on a few areas, a few motivations. First, we serve with God's strength and with great joy. Our goal should not simply be to do good deeds, but good deeds done in a spirit that comes with joyful dependence on God. That's what glorifies God, ultimately. You go back to what I read in 1 Peter 4:11, Peter says, if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God supplies. What matters to God is not just that we're using our gifts, but how we're using our gifts. That we're using them in cheerful dependence, joyful reliance on Him. That's the attitude that we ought to have when we give our time, when we give of our resources, when we give our energy to the church. We're doing it in joyful dependence. Joyful reliance on Him. Paul in 2 Corinthians 9:7 says this, each man should give what he has decided in his own heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now that's not just talking, I don't believe that just applies to giving financially. I think it means giving, period, giving of ourselves. We ought to be cheerful givers of ourselves, of our energy, of our time, yes, and our finances. Too often, we don't give cheerfully. We give out of obligation. We give out of guilt, something this verse speaks against. The Bible encourages us to give because it is a great opportunity to participate in the building up of God's kingdom. That's also the second way that our service is done wrong. Serving out of guilt, serving out of obligation, instead of serving out of gratitude, out of recognition that this is building up something far more valuable than we might have done otherwise with our time. Far more valuable than what we might have done otherwise with our money. That we're building up the kingdom. I mean, listen to how Paul describes the Macedonian church and their motivation for giving. 2 Corinthians 8. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. What a great description. Begging us to be able to take part in giving. They begged for the privilege to give of themselves. Our service should be characterized by that kind of joyful attitude, passion to serve others. Now it raises another question. What if I don't have that attitude? What if my heart's cold? What if I'm unwilling to serve? I don't feel like it. What if I'm partly motivated, Jason, by guilt? What if I'm partly motivated by thinking about what others might think about me if I do or don't serve? Should I stop giving my time? Should I stop giving my resources? No. You don't stop serving. You don't start giving of yourself, even though joy might not be there. Here's the reason. These are not suggestions in God's word. God commands us to give of ourselves. And while we should strive to give out of joyful dependence, we should strive to give with a grateful heart, we also need to remember that we are sinners and we cannot do this perfectly. We just can't. And so we, as we've talked about the last couple of Sundays, we should come to the Lord praying, asking, crying out to Him that He would forgive us and that He would give us the joy of serving Him, not in our own strength, but in His strength. And that should motivate us to be pure in our service. And we ought to repent and seek forgiveness when our attitude in serving is not where it should be. But not say, I'm not going to serve because I just don't feel like it. I can't serve because I don't have joy in serving. I don't have joy in giving of myself. So I'm just not going to do it anymore. God commands us to serve one another. One obstacle to the body functioning like it's supposed to is a feeling of uselessness. I can't be used. That often leads to envy of what others are able to do, or frustration with God because I can't do what I used to do, or I can't do what somebody else is doing. Paul, he speaks directly to that in 1 Corinthians 12. He rejects that idea in 1 Corinthians 12, where he begins to use this image of the body of Christ, depending not on just one or two pieces, parts of the body, members of the body, but the body functioning, and it functions because of its diverse parts, diverse members. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, if you haven't already turned there. Go ahead and turn there. We'll be there for a few minutes. Paul says, he tells us here that the very existence of the body of Christ depends on the diversity that we are often resisting when we begin to compare ourselves or we begin to find fault with how God's gifted us. Look what he says, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? Then verse 17, if we were a single member, where would the body be? It wouldn't exist. It wouldn't be there. It wouldn't be a body. What makes the body function, the body of Christ, what makes it function is the diversity of gifts among its members. Does that make sense? More importantly, in the response to claims of uselessness, Paul points out God's sovereignty in the matter. Look at verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. So God, he is sovereign in his giving, his dispensing of all the parts of the body, and he does it for our best interest. If we say we're useless, if we are, you know, we're not content with how God made us, how God gifted us, and we're not only saying no to the idea of the body, but worse, we're expressing unhappiness, discontentment with how God's placed us in the body. So what does that mean for us? It means we ought to serve in the church where we can. Period. We should thank God for the gifts that he's given us. And we should not feel useless or unhappy just because we're not serving in some particular way or some capacity. There are so many ways to serve in the church that are crucial to the health of the church. And different parts of the body serve in very different but important ways. And I'm not just talking about spiritual gifts. I'm also talking about the use of physical gifts that God has given us. So some members are rich in time, rich in relationships, rich in resources. All the members of the body are useful and vital in the church. And we ought to be content with the gifts that our sovereign God has chosen to give us in his wisdom and his love. Next, how should we use them? We should use them humbly. And this is really the flip side of the previous point. In 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 20, Paul's rebuking members who might feel useless or unhappy with how God's gifted them. But then in verses 21 to 26, he rebukes those who've been given greater gifts of responsibility, and he tells them that they ought to exercise those gifts humbly. They exercise those gifts with humility. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Unity in diversity is impossible without Christ-like humility. We must humble ourselves before one another, regardless of how God has gifted us. And the place that's needed most is in those who seem to have the gifts that have the most responsibility, the most prominence in the church. When that doesn't happen, when people, those in authority, those in leadership, when they lord it over other people, people can become territorial over a ministry, over a committee, and people become bitter and suspicious of anybody who comes along and might make some suggestions of changes. And that's devastating. When it comes to unity in the church. Devastating. May we recognize and honor the service of every member, no matter how visible or invisible, no matter how seemingly significant or insignificant that service might appear to be. We must humble ourselves. And that's what exactly what Paul addresses, verses 23 through 25. A great way for us to do that as individual members is to acknowledge the service of other people, particularly in areas of ministry that may be unseen, maybe in areas of ministry that are behind the scenes, they're not out front. And maybe that means that we need to write a note of encouragement to that person to let that person know that they're valued. Maybe we go to that person, we verbally encourage that person. But we need to humble ourselves for the sake of unity in the body of Christ. Next, in the next two, I want to deal specifically with giving of ourselves, but also giving financially. We ought to give because it glorifies God and it produces benefits for others. It glorifies God and it benefits others. We touched on this really somewhat in an indirect way, but explicitly, let me address giving financially. Our service to the church yields several benefits. It benefits for ourselves, benefits for others, but most importantly, it glorifies God. So financial giving, when we give faithfully, God is glorified because we're simply giving back to Him. We're simply returning to Him what's already His to begin with. We're just stewards. God has blessed us with everything that we have. That's what Psalm 24, verse 1 says. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. That means everything that you have is not really yours. It's God's. The question is, what are you going to do with what God has given you? So are we going to be faithfully stewarding what God has blessed us with? It's why the main way we should talk about giving is not by talking about the tithe. And I know that's going to upset some people that Jason says that we shouldn't focus on the tithe. We ought to focus on the lifestyle. What are we doing with every cent that God's given us? Not just a small part of it. Every cent, 10%, that's not all that belongs to God. It all belongs to Him. So how are we living with the rest of it? Is that honoring God? Is that blessing God? Is that blessing others? That's what we ought to address when we think about giving. And with that view, giving is much more than the tithe. Maybe it begins there, but I think it goes beyond that when we're able. When we're able. Giving faithfully also glorifies God by enabling good deeds to be done to advance His kingdom. But think of how your financial giving enables the church to support church planters through the cooperative program. It's what the North American Mission Board is focused on. Not just setting up ministries in different areas, but sending out church planters in areas that need to hear the gospel that are the least reached people in North America. The International Mission Board sending out not just missionaries, but church planters to the least reached people. So when you give and you're faithful and you're giving, you're helping support church planters as they're being sent out with the gospel. Your giving supports the regular preaching of the word. Your giving supports ministries to our kids. Your giving supports ministries to our students. Your giving supports people who might fall in a rough patch and they're able to come to the church and say they need help, need assistance, and we're able to give to them out of our benevolence fund. Your giving helps bless other people. Giving financially glorifies God. It blesses others. But our giving also benefits us. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, one of the more famous passages in the Bible on giving. The Lord says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows." That is an amazing challenge from God. Test me, he says. You think you can't afford to give that way? Well, test me, God says. What we'll find when we test him is that we cannot afford not to give. This is not a guarantee that if I give, then God's going to bless me financially. God's going to make me rich. That's not what it's saying. It's a guarantee that in all things, in all times, we will have all that we need to abound in every good work. 2 Corinthians 9:8. So giving glorifies God. It is a blessing to others, and it has benefits for us. Starting next Sunday night, we're going to start a series on money and God's purpose for money, specifically with how we spend our money. And we'll go through some practical things, what that looks like for us individually as families and as us as a church. In January, I'm planning a two-week series dealing with finances and why money matters in the church, and I'm going to give a giving challenge over those 2 weeks in January. But we need to know there is great benefit to us when we're obedient and faithful with the resources that God's blessed us to be stewards of. Let me close by just giving you a couple of application points when it comes to serving, giving ourselves. First, persevere in your service through the power given by Christ. Persevere in your service. Paul warned his readers in 2 Thessalonians 3:13. He said, "Do not grow weary in doing good." People tire in their service. When year follows year and extreme tiredness sets in, there might be a temptation to just pull back or just stop altogether. Or maybe you've lost sight of the larger goal of serving God because you've just been so caught up in the details, the busyness of serving in ministry. And so you just, because you're so busy, you're so tired, you neglected your spiritual life. You neglected your time with God, your relationship with him, and now you just find yourself living in your own strength, not relying on God's strength. If that's the case, then I would encourage you to fall back on the call of God to be a servant. He calls every one of us to be a servant. Make sure that your service is fueled by prayer and a healthy dose of God's word, spending time with him. That's what this whole prayer 10, 20, 30 is all about, that you're spending time with God and his word, committing yourself at least an hour a day, spending time with him. And so get back to that. I mean, ultimately, that's what I really want to emphasize, especially with application to what we're talking about this morning. Just like God, or just like food provides fuel for our bodies physically, God's word sustains us spiritually. And without it, we grow dry. And we lose our ability to continue in serving, continue in ministry. But when we remind ourselves again and again of God's character, his goodness, his patience, what he's done for us in Christ, that re-energizes us to serve him. But when we are just dry, and we've lost that passion, when our service becomes just another chore, just another burden, we'll grow discouraged and weary service stops being the fruit of the Spirit and begins to, it becomes the work of the flesh. And so ignite your heart, your mind, by thinking of God's greatness and His grace. There is a fight to be fought when it comes to the spiritual life. But the fight is not about serving as much as we can in our own strength. The fight is to grow in our knowledge of who the Lord is and what He has done for us, to be satisfied in Him. And then all of our service will flow from that, from a heart that's filled with a deep love for Him. A heart that naturally wants to serve because it brings great joy. The last point of application is to simply go to the ministry fair. I mean, that's really what I would love, and I know others would love to see you do. Just to encourage you to make your way to the social hall when we leave here in just a little while, to find a place if you're not already serving, to get plugged into ministry. Our church is made up of great people who love the Lord and want to serve with all that they are. And I plead with you to find where God is at work and to join Him in ministry there. Join Him in serving there. For 2,000 years, over 2,000 years, God's people have faithfully served in the church. They've been driven by a love of God and a desire ultimately to glorify Him. And we should have that same desire to glorify Him, to serve for the good of others. We ought to be a people who are driven to serve Him because He served us first, by giving His life as a ransom for us. And out of that flows our desire, our hunger, our passion to want to be characterized in the same way as Jesus. That we would serve with great joy and thanksgiving, being fueled by His strength. Let's pray together.